Well, I'd appreciate your prayers and your attention a little while. Got some beans and cornbread. It's food for our souls. I'd like the Lord to bless it. Worship service is intended to point people toward God, and should be uplifting, but it's really not interesting to people who don't care about their souls. So I make the assumption that we're all here this morning because we do care about spiritual things. And one of the things I wish to assure you about serving the Lord is if you start out to do it, you're going to have some battles along the way. And the second thing I wish to assure you is that the God that we serve is a God of battles. And the third thing is if you choose not to serve the Lord, you're still going to have some battles along life's journey. But you won't have the same kind of help that you will if you put the Lord first in your life. You and I are not the first persons that have ever walked this way. The eternal God who created us all, beginning with our ancestors, Adam and Eve, has walked with his people all down through all generations of time. The same behaviors, the same attitudes that brought his presence into the lives of our spiritual ancestors will bring him into our lives today. And the same things that caused him to withdraw from people as far back as the dawn of time will cause him to withdraw from people today. No, I'm not interested in having him withdraw. But I'd like to read to you the battle song of some of our spiritual ancestors from generations ago. I have in mind one of David's, the great warrior king of Israel. It's the 20th Psalm. It's not very long, and I'll read it to you. It's just 9 verses. It says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call." As I mentioned, this is a Psalm of David. You read the history of David from the time he was a shepherd boy and had his encounter with a lion and a bear all the way down to the end of his life. It's a story of war. There seemed to me to be more times when David was involved during his tenure as king in war of one kind or another than there were when there were times of peace. He had war from rulers over him. He had the experience of being a stranger in the land of his enemies when he lived among the Philistines. He had war from surrounding tribes. And in later years, he had war from within his own household. And he knew something about what it took to bring God down to meet and help him. I suppose a part of my little discourse that I have this morning, and I wish I knew how better to express it than I do, I have known some of our spiritual ancestors who had a means of calling God to their rescue. Sometimes I think the old devil would like to snatch away from us and cause us to forget about. There are things we can do that move God greatly on his throne. There is a way to lay hold on God in the most adverse of circumstances. And things change when that happens. The old devil would like, first of all, for us not to be spiritual at all. But if we insist on being, he'd like it to be superficial. Not really very deep. Not really very committed. But there are prayers that get very deep. And they're very committed. And they can change things. David is speaking from that kind of position. There are psalms in the book of Psalms that are the psalms of victory. After the battle has been fought, the enemy is defeated. The army is coming home with their leaders in the forefront. This psalm's not like that. This is a psalm when the battle is approaching. People's hearts can get fearful when the battle is approaching. I remember when Rabshakeh was sent by the king to threaten Hezekiah. And they sent a roll over to him. And one of the things they said in the roll was, and at that time, Rabshakeh and his masters had conquered a good part of Israel. And a lot of cities besides the nation of Israel. And they told Hezekiah, all these people we came up against, they believed their gods were going to deliver them. You're no different than they were. There's no use for you to pray or think that your God's going to deliver you. Well, you got two choices. You can throw down your arms and surrender and we'll have some mercy on you maybe. Or you can fight us and we'll destroy the city. And Hezekiah took that in and he spread it out in the temple before the Lord. And he said, behold our threatenings. He said, in my language, it's time for us to have a miracle, but we're not strong enough to have it. Everybody's afraid. They hear what's being said and they see the smoke of these burning cities over there. Nobody's got any courage to stand up against this. And Hezekiah was afraid too. He didn't know what to do. People feel that way when times of battle are approaching. It calls to the deepest reserves of strength, courage that there are within us. The Bible talks about people whose heart turned to water when the battle cry was being sounded. And yet, this is a triumphant song flung right in the teeth of the enemy, if you want to think of it that way. It's got defiance in it. It's got strong determination in it. It's got the attitude of the three Hebrew children in it. O king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. If so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, we will not bow down. We'd rather die. Israelites, we'd rather die believing in what we believe in than to yield to you in anything. And of course, God delivered them. And God delivered Hezekiah. And the Assyrians turned around and went back by the way that they came, leaving 80,000 dead on the field behind them without any Israelite having done anything to take any of their lives. It's a mighty God that we serve. But he's intent on us being serious about serving him. He wants us to be. He gave a great deal for us to be saved, and he wants us to give ourselves to be willing to walk with him as well. So let me talk about the 20th Psalm a little. It's divided into sections. The first four verses of the 20th Psalm are a prayer for the success of the king. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. I pray that way for our president. I don't think he's much like King David was. But he's still got a lot of the fate of our nation in his hands. And I'd like the Lord to have mercy on our nation. And I'd like the Lord to give us leaders that have understanding and wisdom how to deal with the times in which we live. I don't know how successful he's going to be in doing that. But in the time of David, when folks were praying this way, when battle was coming, and folks were praying this way, they weren't only praying for their nation. Our nation, I fear, is a long ways away from what the nation of Israel was in the time of David, so far as moral values, so far as reverence to God. It's hard to pray for the Lord to uphold the United States as a righteous nation in the way things are going in so many ways today. But that wasn't true in this time. Praying for it, for the king, was also a prayer for God to uphold the plan of government, the people that he had called out and made separate, the course these folks were going. They could justly come to the Lord and say, we are not like any of these nations around us. We're not Philistines, we're not Canaanites, we're not Jebusites, we're not Hivites and all Amorites, we're not Egyptians. We're not Babylonians. We are the Israelites. We didn't choose ourselves to be this way. You called our ancestors. You made us different from any other nation by Moses, by the plagues, by the law that you gave us, by giving us this land that we're living in. It's too big for us to defend. Seemed like if you follow the history of Israel, there's a tiny little nation and all around them were big nations trying to destroy them. It's still that way over there today. And you marvel at it and wonder why everybody hates the Israelites so badly. Well, it was that way in David's time. And I can see the people in my mind's eye praying this prayer. Lord, protect our king. Because he's a leader. And in protecting him, you protect all of us. But surely this goes beyond old Father David. He wrote it. Folks, this is talking about Jesus Christ. If David fought battles for literal Israel, the greatest warrior there has ever been on behalf of our souls is the Lord himself. So this is a prayer of the church. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. And when was the Lord's day of trouble? Well, there are different ones. But surely the climax of it all was after that evening in the upper room. And he went out with his apostles into the garden. And he asked them to stay there while he went on to pray by himself a little farther. And he prayed. Can you think that God didn't hear Jesus' prayer? Can you think that God didn't hear Jesus' prayer? Well, if he did, why did he pray three times? He persevered until something happened. And folks, there is a way you and I can do that too. And it changes things. And it doesn't always happen. Though we're in great distress, though we understand the battle before us, it doesn't always happen the first time we pray. We have got to pray until we pray. We have got to lay hold on God. An old minister brother told me this story of when he was young in the things of God. I have never forgotten it. I wish I knew better how to explain the depths of it. He said, I fell sick. He said, I grew gradually sicker all the time. He said, nothing that I tried to do made me any better. I was determined to trust God for my body. People came and prayed for me and people went. And nothing changed. And he said, I thought I was going to die, and everybody else thought I was going to die too. And he said, I finally made up my mind, if I'm going to die anyway, I'm going to fast and pray and do everything I can to lay hold on God, and I'll die fasting. And he said, my wife and my counselors, the other ministers told me, you're not strong enough to fast. And he said, I wasn't. But I made up my mind, I'm going to lay hold on the Lord's garment if it kills me. I'm not going to leave this like it is. And he said, I made a purpose to fast one day a week, and sometimes more than that. And he said, there were days I thought I wasn't going to make it through the day. But in time, that all turned around, and God touched his body and gave him a long life. He lived years after that. There is a way. Most folks don't really get that serious nowadays. It's easy now to find another way to go if you want to. But that's still there, folks. It can still be done. That's what this is talking about. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Now, this is a prayer of Israel for David. It's also our prayer concerning what the Lord has done for us. The purpose then, his suffering. His time in Gethsemane is long over. But the disposition that he took into that garden, we want to take that same disposition before the Lord. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. In other words, Lord, let that place always be there that people can press into when they're in their extremity. If they're willing to get serious enough with God, the channels and the doors can be opened. And help can come because after the Lord had gone and prayed three times and he came back and the apostles were asleep, he said to them, to put it in my language, I've gotten done now what I needed to do. You can go on and take your rest. You could have helped me by praying for me, but I prayed through and now the angels have come and strengthened me and I'm able to face. And even when he was hanging under the pain of the cross, he appealed back to the sanctuary. Because that's where the angels were. Remember the two cherubim that stood with their wings outstretched, the feathers touching each other, something like 12 feet tall, made of wood, coated with solid gold, and the Ark of the Covenant in between them? That was put there to symbolize the great sanctuary of our God, which is with men. And it is possible for you and me to lay hold of the Ark of the Covenant in that sacred place and receive a blessing, just like the Son of God did. He did it and made it available to you and me. When we pray this prayer, that's what we're praying. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. The name of the God of Jacob. God's name is who he is. That's important. We are not serving an unknown God. We serve a real, tangible God. And he intends for us to understand him. It's not possible to serve God without understanding him. Everything we do in the service of the Lord needs to involve understanding. Everything he did in the creation of his world involves understanding. And he wants us to be delivered in him through the name of the God of Jacob. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. There's something in this word Jacob. The more we study this whole Bible, folks, the deeper it gets. Remember Jacob? He didn't start out his journey the same man that he ended it. Jacob's name means a usurper, and that's what he was. He would connive together with his mother to cheat his father and to cheat his brother. He had connived against his father-in-law to try to cheat him out of cattle when he could. When he got ready to make his separation from his father-in-law, he got up and sneaked out with his family, and his father-in-law came searching after him to find him because he was that kind of man, cunning, taking his own way. He'd have finished his life that way if the Lord hadn't had mercy on him. But he had mercy on him. He sent him trouble. He sent him trouble. He got one to go home, and he got word. Here's your brother coming out to meet you. Got a whole army with him. And what do you got? Wives, children, sheep, few shepherds, and here's this man coming with men of war. You're going out to meet him. How are you going to deal with something like that? Well, you got choices. You can run. You can try to get up an army yourself. You can go get in touch with God. It's the same today. Jacob. Let me read you again. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. That's in there for a reason. Jacob went out and the angel met him. He wrestled all night long with the angel. You fellows, have you ever wrestled? I wrestled in high school. A wrestling match lasts what? 2 or 3 minutes. And then they take a break. Because wrestling is some of the hardest sport there is. Well, that's what the coach told us. If you play basketball, you got 4 other guys to help you. If you play tennis, half the time the ball is in the other court. You get somebody like they taught us to do, you got your hand around his neck, and he's got his hand around yours, and you got one of his arms, and he's got one of yours. There's nobody there but you and him. And you're using all the strength you got all your time. Try that all night long. Well, that's what this man did. That's getting desperate about things, your soul. It can be done. He wouldn't turn him loose. The angel said, the day's breaking. This has got to stop. Now, I won't turn you loose except you bless me. And remember what the angel did? He touched him in the hollow of his hip. And the scripture said, the Hebrews eat not of that place today because that's where the sinews shrank that were in Jacob's hip. Now, if I understand that scripture correctly, that indicates to me that he probably walked with a limp the rest of his life. His days running were over because he wrestled all night with the angel. But he got the blessing. He said, you've been the supplanter, but now you be called Israel. You be called a leader. You're a prince. God changed the things in you that made you act like you did. He needed that. Jacob's attitudes had divided his sons into 12 warring camps, and they were prepared to kill one of his favorite children in order to have their preeminence with him because of envy and jealousy with him. That all traces back to Jacob. He couldn't change that by himself. God had mercy on Jacob, and he led him through that. He led him through the years of sorrow, the times when he thought, I was hopeless, I'll never see my boy again, the time when he thought he'd have to give Benjamin up, all the way down to Egypt, and held that son again in his arms. Life is a journey, folks, and the Lord intends us to pray our way through it. And because somebody stumbled one time doesn't mean there's no hope for them. We're serving a big God. The Lord told Peter, I prayed for you that your faith not. He didn't fail not. He didn't say, I prayed for you that you won't fail. He already told him he's going to fail. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Folks, the Lord knows how to deliver us, and it's a journey. In the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary. That's where the cherubim were. That's where the help is. David said it this way. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. That scripture is actually transposed. Folks quote it the way it's in the book, but it actually should read this way. From whence cometh my help? Shall I lift up mine eyes unto the hills? Because the hills are where they put the groves to worship the pagan gods. Then he says in the next verse, my help cometh from the Lord. The hills can't help you. And the neighbors can't help you. Some folks look to the things of this world to help them when they're in trouble. They look to money. They look to their friends. They look to their physical abilities and scorn on the things of God. Sure they do. But in the end, this is what will hold us more than anything else that there is. The things of God. That'll all fail you, folks. Friends will let you down. Money will let you down. Human skill will let you down. When we're in the most difficult battles there are in life, the best thing we can do is turn to the Lord with our whole hearts and get real serious about walking with Him. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. In the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. When he speaks of Zion, he's speaking of the church. That's a good scripture. That'd be a good scripture to have over the entrance to our chapel. That's a good scripture for the pastor to greet a congregation with. That's a good scripture for a congregation to greet a minister with. The Lord send thee help from the sanctuary. The Lord strengthen thee out of Zion. You know what that's talking about? We don't come together on Wednesday nights for a social gathering. It's fine to visit with one another, but we're here. When you're in desperate battle for your soul, some great spiritual need, social things get a little bit less important. We come here to strengthen one another from Zion. When we come out to worship service and some brother or sister that you've known for a long time, and you know that they're not any stronger than you are, and they're not any smarter than you are, and they can't jump any higher than you can, and they get up on fire, and they've got something in their soul the Lord gave them, how He delivered them, that'll set your soul on fire too. If the Lord will do that for them, He'll do it for them. It's not because they're better than I am. It's because they walked with the Lord, and the Lord did that. The Lord strengthened thee out of Zion. Folks, there's strength in our worship service. There's strength in our worship service. I tell you, the devil knows that. He'll follow you right in these chapel doors and sit on your shoulder and do everything he can do to get you from calling a song or offering a prayer or giving a good exhilarating testimony of what God's done for you, because he knows that strengthens some little sheep somewhere and boosts us. We're going to heaven together and we need each other. It's God's plan. It's a good plan. He didn't make one of us to be better or wiser, more able than the other. He is the Lord. He is the King. He strengthened us from the sanctuary. He strengthens us from Zion. Thank God. You understand what I'm telling you? Worship service is important because that's where we strengthen one another. When we're in desperate need, this is a place to look. He said, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. The Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. I'll say that's a prayer for Christ. When he's in a garden. I have read and studied his life all my life. I can't find any fault in it. But it was all there before God. When he came in his extremity in the garden and laid everything on the line, facing the greatest battle of his life, everything, every word he'd spoken, it was all there. He had to deal with it. Because now he's going to come to a place in just a few hours where he'll be saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He needed to know that what he had done was accepted of the Lord. Folks, when we get in facing the battle, it's time to examine ourselves. It's time to pray for one another. The Lord, remember your offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. The Lord doesn't accept everybody's sacrifice. Cain brought his sacrifice and God didn't accept it. Saul brought a sacrifice. Saul was facing battle with the Philistines. The Lord had commanded some things concerning Saul, but he said, I forced myself. Samuel didn't get there, and Saul waited 3 weeks, and Samuel didn't get there. Saul got afraid of the people. He killed a sacrifice and offered, thereby combining the function of the high priest and of the king in one role. God was displeased with that. God was displeased with that. It wasn't because of the bleeding of the sheep. It wasn't because of the king that he didn't kill that the kingdom was taken from him. It was that. The sacrifice that he offered before the battle, God didn't accept that. It's possible to offer sacrifice that God won't accept. This is a prayer that it not be that way with you and me. And what that means is when we see the battle coming before us and we mean to put our trust in the Lord, it's time to get down on our face before God. Not defend ourselves. Not defend ourselves. Saul defended himself. Samuel, it's your fault. I offered this because you didn't get here on time. Don't do that with the Lord. Lay it all out there. Here I am. This is what I've done. Anything you see in me that shouldn't have been there, help me with it now. Because I am absolutely desperate. I've got to have you help me. Whatever it takes. I'd rather deal with anything you see in my sacrifice now than to get into battle and have you turn your back on me and the enemy start prospering over me and not be able to get the help that I need. That's what this is talking. Isn't this a deep scripture? Do you know all that was in the 20th Psalm? This is just a start of it. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. And then grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Maybe it'll emphasize that a little bit more. When you get in a place where you are desperate, some people never get that desperate before the Lord. They'll turn another way before it ever gets that serious. But if you really want to lay hold on God, and folks, when it comes time to leave this world, we're going to need it. There comes a place where we need to just lay it all out before Him. This is what I've done. I tried to do it. My purpose was to do it so it would be acceptable in your sight. But I can't be a Cain. If you didn't like it, you let me know it. I want to do something about it. When I've been called on to pray for the dying, that's my prayer. Lord, if you see that there's something this person needs to correct in their life, will you have mercy on them and give them an opportunity to see it and give them the grace to do something about it, time side of eternity? Because that line's about to be crossed and we can get over there. If the sacrifice is not accepted, nothing anybody can ever do about it. It's fixed eternally. The Lord grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Oh, how deep is that scripture. Lord, help me this morning. He's spoken of Christ. Grant thee according to thine own heart. And what was Christ's heart? Toward the Israelites, to save them, to teach them. Toward the sinners, to forgive them and wash them in his blood. What was his heart toward the Pharisees? To draw a clear, firm line concerning them and reach to them with all the mercy that he could. What was his heart concerning money? Where can you find in the Bible that he ever spent any effort very much making money? When he wanted money, he told somebody to go catch a fish and take the coin out of his mouth. When he wanted increase, he told the apostles, let your nets down on the other side of the ship. Where was his heart? Read to me in the Bible where Christ ever put romance ahead of the duties of souls. He said, who is my mother and my brethren? He said, he that does the will of my Father. He loved us all the same. Well, the scripture said, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. If you and I have a heart to put the gospel first, we got a chance. We got a chance. If we put our carnal endeavors first, please don't misunderstand me. It's important to love husbands and wives. It's important that there be romance in the world. I understand that. But it's important to put the Lord first. If we follow his counsel, folks, we got a chance. We got a chance that he'll accept our sacrifice. When we come in our most urgent and desperate need, there's a chance. The Lord will hear us. It can be done. And so with Christ. Grant thee according to thine own heart, then fulfill all thy counsel. Well, think of the counsel that Christ gave. Go tell that fox, he said. That's some of his counsel. He told another one, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. He told another, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And this is a prayer. Back that up in heaven, God. Make that real. It was real. It was real for him, but he came to a point where he wondered, look, you and I are standing for something too. And there are going to be challenges for us. And there are going to be times when the devil comes to us and says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. Your counsel is not valuable. The whole world is against the counsel of the cross of Jesus Christ. But here is a prayer beyond this world in which we live, going back 4,000 years from one who had the same burden that you and I do. And it's a prayer for you and me, then we might say, fulfill all thy counsel. The mother who takes a little child on her leg and tries to teach that little baby the story of Jesus. Teach him how to pray. Teach him about Daniel in the lion's den. Teach him about Jonah and the whale. And the world scoffing at those accounts today. And the little child going out to face a sinful world where somebody's going to be trying to cheat them and hurt them in different ways. And entice them off into worldly things. The Lord support the counsel of that mother. The Lord support the counsel of the godly father. The Lord support the counsels that take place inside the walls of this building. May his spirit be with us. May there always be a place where the people of God in Neosho, Missouri, who want to worship him, have a place where they can come together and hear the truth. That's what this is talking about. Fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. This is defiance. It's thrown right in the face of the enemy. We're going out to battle. We know that the enemy will fight us hard. We know that it's going to hurt. David's sword might have had a lot of dings in it, but it didn't have any rust on it. If you and I fight this battle the way the Lord wants us to, we're going to need our swords too along the way. But he said, the Lord, this is the purpose of it all. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. You understand what that means? I don't like, I've been doing this a long time now and seen several things. Somebody gets sick, I'm real reluctant to go and tell them, the Lord showed me he's going to heal you and raise you up. Don't say there's no place for that. The scripture said, hast thou faith, have it to thyself. I have my own private place with the Lord and I get in touch with him. I've had some times when the Lord showed me he was going to take somebody and a lot of folks were telling him to hold on, he's going to heal them. And I've had some times when I felt sure the Lord showed me he was going to heal somebody, and it didn't turn out that way. And I've had to learn some painful lessons through it. I've learned to be careful about that, but I don't have to be careful about this. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. I'm going to take my stand. Whatever comes or goes, I'm going to live this way. This is the way my spiritual ancestors lived and died. I believe the God of heaven honored them. I believe there is a way to lay hold of him where he turns things around in this life. I've seen people healed when they were in the actual death struggle, moments away from going into the next world. God raised them up. still living today. I've seen cancer healed. I've seen other kinds of physical ailments healed. I know He does that. But I also know that people die. One of the things we all have to accept in life is that people die. And whatever He does, by His grace, I intend to set up my banners to live and die this way so that He'll accept my prayers. Because in the end, it's the right thing to do. His way is just, folks. Oh, God, help us to be brave in the face of all we face. The name of our God, we'll set up our banners. The Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. I can't say to you that everybody I prayed for has gotten healed. But I can say to you that there is no prayer of a righteous person that is in vain. He hears them all. They're all of benefit. It's worth it to pray. And I make this attitude concerning folks when they get in serious illness along the way. As I say, I have my private place. I take it to the Lord to lay myself out in my best understanding like Jesus did when He went back the third time to pray. And my attitude about it is, as long as that person has life in their body, we have the right to press the Lord for healing. Remember what David did when his son fell sick? And it was David's fault, too. As long as that little boy was alive, David fasted and prayed. He knew that things were against him. But we've got a case to make before the Lord, folks. We can say, as my wife did when I needed it, this is my husband. He's the father of my three small children. If you take him away from me, they'll never have another man in their life that will be like their own father is. And I come now, his wife, without the means to provide for them, and I petition you that you look in the faces of these little children. God obligates himself to hear that. Put your tears and your fast behind that, and it moves God on his throne. He won't always give us it just like we want him to, but he'll always hear us. And he'll work out what he sees is best. And there are times, as you see in my case, where he'll add another 40 years onto somebody's life than we thought was going to be there. These are the things that do it. That's what this psalm is talking about. We rejoice in thy salvation. And even if the Lord takes one once in a while, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Clock's going to bite me, isn't it? Now know I, Peter, Nathaniel, when did you see me praying? I saw you in under the fig tree. He had a journey. 3.5 years with the Lord. It didn't end like he thought he would. In spite of all the people Jesus raised from the dead, they whipped him. And he carried a cross up the hill, and they crucified him on it, and he gave up his life. He went fishing with the rest of them. Nathaniel did, John did, James did, Matthew did. They went fishing. What do we do now? We trusted him, but he's gone. What do we do now? And the time came when they saw, and they understood, and they never backed down from it again. You walk with the Lord long enough, folks, and he'll change you so drastically, it's different. I don't know how to say it, but not one of them ever recanted. After they had the Pentecost experience, not one of them recanted. Here's what they said. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven. He will hear. When it looks like to me all hope is gone, it's not all gone in God's sight. When we're where there's no way left, there's still a way left, folks. God's got a way to deliver you right out of the fire. I wonder what those three Hebrews thought when they're pushing us up here. We're going in. That's right where God wanted them. We're human. We don't see where God wants us, but you be faithful. He'll be there with you. And you look back on it and say, now I know. He saves his anointed. But look how he said he saves them. He will hear from his holy heaven. There's holiness involved in this. You don't get that from God without laying aside the world. The defiling things, the shameful things, the things that hinder, the things he gave his life and his blood to wash out of our lives. He will save from his holy heaven. with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I mind Brother Clifford's lesson on that. It was active in David's time. The Israelites were forbidden to have horses and chariots. Talk about putting yourself at a disadvantage with the enemy all around you. There's no way. You already don't have as many soldiers as they do. No horses, no chariots. There's no way. Of course, if you got chariots and horses of fire, you don't really need those that you have to feed oats to. And when the prophet was up on a mountain, and his servant said, "What are we going to do? They're all around us." He said, "The Lord opened his eyes, let him see. Don't you know there's more for us than there are against us? Don't you know this world, this way, will always look foolish to the world? It'll look like you're just giving up." Lord, help us this morning. There is a difference in submitting ourselves to God and submitting ourselves to affliction. There's a difference. We can be fully submitted to God and fight against physical affliction in our bodies with all the faith and understanding that we have, and the Lord not be displeased with it. And we'll be in full submission to His will in doing it. Lord, if it's Your will that I stay in this, I am willing to stay it, but I intend to lay hold on the hem of Your garment and see what can be done to change this. I'm going to invite You to come by and trouble the water. I'm willing to be afflicted, but I'm going to cut a hole in the roof and let myself down through it where You are and see what You'll do with my case. The one thing I won't do is leave You alone about it. I mean to call on Your name. There's a difference in submitting to the affliction and submitting to the Lord. We need to be submitted to the Lord, but folks, we got a right to call on Him, the God of battles, to defend us when we're obliged to face affliction. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. We don't have any of those. So it looked pretty silly. We're going out there to battle and they're all on horses. And we can't run with a horse. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to dig some ditches. And the Lord's going to send the water overnight, and the enemy's going to ride their horses and their chariots up and look down on that water, and it looks like blood to them because the Lord told them that's what it was. I never saw any water that made me think it looked like blood. Have you? But the Lord put that in their minds and they couldn't get it out. And so what do? Start killing one another and running. How could the Israelites make them do that? Can you make the enemy do that? Folks, listen to me. I know by experience, I've lived long enough to see it. When you get in a battle with the devil, the farther he pushes it, and the more you be faithful, the more he's setting himself up to fall. He will be defeated. If you be faithful, he will be defeated. If he wants to push it far enough, he can look really bad. Because in the end, the Lord's going to win this thing. In the end, I think Saturday night must have been night of great rejoicing for the devil. He's crucified. He's in the tomb. We finally got what we wanted. It was right on the eve of the thing that turned, of the dawning of the next day, that turned everything around and gave deliverance to every soul from then onward. And even back before that, Brother Murphy Allen used to say it this way, and it's comforted me a lot of times. You give the devil enough rope and he'll hang himself. You get in a battle with the devil, don't give up. Don't back down. Keep your ground, because if you be faithful, this will turn. This will turn. The Lord's got a way to protect His people. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, because here is a prophecy. Oh, it's a dreadful one. It's eternally sealed in heaven. It cannot be changed. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. That's my prayer for my own soul. It's my prayer for our congregation. It's my prayer for the saints and the church and the world. Save, Lord. O King, live forever. He used to say, save your nation. I mean the nation of God's people. Save the congregation. Save our souls. Save our souls. Save our souls. Whatever we have to do to be where You'll save our souls. Lord, we come and give ourselves to You. We're not like other people. You can't serve the Lord and be like other people. We give up our own protection and defense. There's a chimney corner scripture that says the Lord helps those who help themselves. The world's got it exactly wrong. The Lord helps those who can't help themselves. Get helpless before the Lord. Put yourself in His hands, folks. He made us. He'll find a way to deliver us. And the one thing I can promise you about it, it won't be the way you thought. He's bigger than we are, and He'll find something that we never considered. And when we look back on it, we'll say, I know He protects His anointed. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention. Amen.